Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at WillStewartTSL and at ChrisColemanTSL. Virginia Tech finished 35th in this year's Director's Cup. About par for the course, right? I mean, I'm looking at this infographic here. 37th last year, 36th the year before, 35th back in 2011, 2012. So this is about where Virginia Tech has been finishing in the Director's Cup.
Yeah, you know, they've become fairly consistent there. This was tied for their highest finish, and they did score their most points ever this year. So you could arguably say that they're still trending up as far as that goes. And just think about it. If our basketball programs weren't in the tank, like what if one of our two basketball programs this year made the NCAA tournament and our football team – and maybe won a game, and then our football program won 10 games like they used to, then you're talking about a top 30 finish this year, most likely. So, you know, really it was Olympic sports that carried Virginia Tech this year, if you think about it.
And, you know, one thing I want to do is I want to take the time to sit and look at the final standings. And I think, you know, you talk about hitting your head against the ceiling. I think where Virginia Tech is now is they have no elite teams. They don't have teams that are playing for national championships and or winning national championships. So I wonder if...
What about wrestling and track and field, though?
They're good.
Okay.
But would you call them elite?
That's why I'm asking you. Yeah. I don't know. Because, I mean, you've got, what, a top 10 finish nationally? I guess, would that be considered elite in wrestling? Maybe?
Do they have top 10 in wrestling this year? What did they finish in?
It was close. I don't know. I didn't see the final standings, if I'm being honest. But, I mean...
You'd have to look at the point breakdown and see, is there much difference between in the Director's Cup standings?
Yeah, I get your point, though. I totally get your point. So, plus the fact that it's, as Chris said, the Olympic sports that are really carrying the load right now.
So I'd love to look at the 34 team schools, not teams, schools that finished ahead of Virginia Tech and how many of them really excelled in one or two or more sports. You know, like UVA won a national championship at baseball. Didn't they win one in women's tennis?
I think they won three in this Director's Cup calendar.
Yeah. So where did they wind up finishing?
Sixth.
Second in the ACC.
So how many of the 34 teams in front of Virginia Tech have some of their schools in front of Virginia Tech have some of their teams that are performing at what you call an elite level?
Let's say a top five level.
Top four or top five level.
Yeah.
So,
You know, obviously the goal is to improve, and as Chris said, they weren't too far away from being that if the football program had been a bit better and if the basketball program just, you know, weren't a last-place team again. you're talking about 35th sounds kind of ho-hum, but the point here again is that the football team picks it back up, the basketball team begins to improve, then you're talking about routine top 30, top 25 even finishes.
We're right in the middle of the pack in the ACC. But when you look at it from a point standpoint, we're a lot closer to moving up than we are falling back. So if we can just get things right in football and men's basketball, then I think you have the potential to be a top 30 program or top 30 athletics program overall, which is pretty good. But when you consider where we came from, I mean, it wasn't 15 years ago that we were outside the top 100 in the Director's Cup, right?
When we first started paying attention to this stuff, Tech was finishing 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, not very – And then when the Big East money, well, the really good football money from the late 90s and early 2000s started to kick in, and Jim Weaver's facility improvements started to take hold in some of those other sports, Tech quickly moved up into the top 50 and then up to the level they are now in the 30s, you know, consistently in the 30s. But, you know, they're middle of the pack in the ACC, and that's impressive because you're talking about – now, granted, the conference is a lot bigger than it used to be. But they're in a conference with a lot of schools that have had good, stable conference membership for decades. You know, Virginia Tech wasn't making the money and didn't have the conference membership that like UNC and NC State and Georgia Tech and schools like that had. So for Tech to be able to come on this strong this quickly, really only being well-funded for the last 10 or 15 years, you know, that's a pretty impressive accomplishment. You're right, room to improve.
Yeah, it is, and then facilities are what still stands out. You know, the new indoor practice facility is obviously a huge, huge accomplishment. The new upgrades coming to Merriman. The baseball thing is still what stands out to me. Tech Softball Park actually is a more impressive facility, at least to the eye, than English Field is right now.
Right.
And, you know, my brother, who's a collegiate baseball coach, was on the road going to a showcase camp. A couple of weeks ago out in Lynchburg at Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
And he calls me when he gets there, and he'd never been there. Now, I'd been there. I've seen it, you know, a couple of times, but he'd never been to the baseball stadium, and he called me just blown away. He said, "Have you seen this place?" And I said, "Yeah, I told you." I told you. I mean, it's a private university with a little bit different operating procedures and fiscally they do things a little bit differently. But for a school in the Big South to have a baseball facility to that magnitude, you know, into Virginia Tech, and I'm not belaboring the point here about, you know, English is old and ugly and needs to be updated. I'm saying it, to Chris's point or to Will's point, how far they've come since then, but what is left to be done,
yeah.
It's still impressive to be able to go from 80th and 90th place finishes to being 35th right now. And I think as one of your posters said here on the site, you know, if men's and women's basketball, you know, might have had a pulse this year, you know, and football wins another game or two, then you're talking top 30. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, one thing that holds Virginia Tech back and it's why we'll never be one of those top 10 competing for national championships against all sports is academic money and endowment. Every school in the top 10 in the Director's Cup has an endowment of $1.5 billion or more.
Yeah,
Virginia Tech is sitting around $700-800 million. And I didn't know this until Jacob Embert interviewed Rob Woodard, Virginia Tech's pitching coach and recruiting coordinator. Virginia Tech has trouble recruiting in baseball against the UNCs and UVAs and Vanderbilts of the world because, you know, they'll get their 25% athletic scholarship, but these other teams can get them academic money. So you can be on a 75% scholarship or 100% scholarship at UVA, UNC, Vanderbilt, all these big-time academic schools, and or you can be on a 25% scholarship at Virginia Tech. What are you going to choose if you're an elite-level recruit? And it's like that across all the Olympic sports, and that's why your Stanfords, your North Carolinas, your Virginias, all your Penn States, teams with huge academic endowments are always in your top 10 of the Director's Cup standings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can go out and, this is probably a crass way to put it, but go out and buy the best Olympic athletes.
Sure.
You know, that's what it boils down to.
Yes.
You know, but and it's not that those academic reputations and standards weren't earned. It's simply
absolutely.
That, you know,
I'm not criticizing them for it.
Right.
I'm just saying we need to – Virginia Tech is probably better served to focus on two or three sports and try to be really good at them rather than spreading it out and trying to be national caliber and everything.
Right.
Stanford's endowment is $21.4 billion.
It's a lot of billions.
Yeah.
It's a lot of billions.
At what point do you just basically have enough of an endowment that every one of your students can just go there for free?
Well, I think you're probably already there.
Yeah,
might be.
Well, I mean, like Harvard, for instance. I mean, Harvard has, a $40 billion endowment, yeah. I think, something like that. And there was a Wall Street hedge fund mogul who recently donated something in the neighborhood of $400-500 million to the school and slapped his name on a building. And you know, it's, you're right, at some point the returns are minimal we got it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's not always a level playing field. You know, you make up the ground where you can and you succeed where you can, and that's the interesting part of all this. Before we go to break here, and I'm going to talk about some beer sales coming up in the next segment, back on Tuesday, I believe. Was it Tuesday? It was Wednesday, actually. We talked to John Lazor, the new play-by-play voice at Virginia Tech. I'm impressed with the guy. Young guy, energetic. His background's unique. I know you guys have both had a chance to listen to some of his stuff at this point, I believe. Mm-hmm. Thoughts? I mean, Bill's shoes are big ones to fill, but
sure.
I think John's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really listened to him call a game. I've watched his highlights of his television show with the Flying Squirrels,
right.
which I think is big. You need a guy who is good. It's different being in front of a crowded room and being on television than it is being on the radio. So different.
People who don't understand that, you know, that's such an excellent point, you know, because I can sit behind a mic and comfortably speak to tens of thousands of people or, you know, whatever the case may be. Same thing on television, the work that I've done there. But you put me in front of a room, you know, of like an intimate setting, like 50 to 150 people. Maybe I'm emceeing an event. I'm more nervous for that than I ever would be going on air.
I've done that. I've emceed events in front of 50 to 100 people, and the build-up to it is very stressful. And,
yes, yes.
And you have to be on for an hour or two, however mm-hmm. long it takes, and then afterwards it's just like, oh, thank God that's over.
Yeah, that's right. It. Like the relief is ridiculous.
But when we do these shows, and I've been on the radio a lot over the years, you just sit and have a conversation. You forget that there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people out there listening. It's a lot easier than being right in front of the crowd. You know,
and, yeah. Right. And the point I'm saying is I think John's going to have the ability to do that.
Absolutely.
He's going to be able to stand up in front of the Richmond Hokie Club at their kickoff dinner and be able to emcee that event. You know, once he's here for a year and he knows who everybody is and is comfortable around everybody, then I think he's going to be able to step into that Bill Roth do-it-all role. And that's one of the reasons UCLA hired Bill Roth. They didn't have a guy like that. They didn't have a jack of all trades that was good at TV, good at radio, and was, you know, your stage presence at these big events like that. And, you know, I think Lazor's going to be able to do that for us. He strikes me as that type. And I know a few people in Richmond who know him personally, and they say nothing but good things. You know, Wes McElroy out of Richmond, he actually phrased it as going from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck.
Yeah. No, and that's right. Yeah, Wes has been a longtime friend of mine. He said something similar the other day. I mean, they're very, very close, very good friends. Fox Sports 910 up there is the flagship station of Richmond Flying Squirrels Baseball. I've heard the exact same things. And that's a critical part of the job that some people don't realize. It's not just flipping on your radio.
Right.
You know, and hearing this guy call a touchdown or a three-pointer on a Saturday night. It's, you know, can he hop on that plane with Whit Babcock and Buzz Williams and Frank Beamer, you know, and go to the Nova Hokie Club, the Richmond Hokie Club, the Charlotte Hokie Club, you know, and shake the right hands and, you know, slowly but subtly pull some more money out of people's wallets.
And sell ads.
Yep.
And how many ads do you think Bill Roth sold? You know, not that Bill is going to be in the nitty-gritty details, but he's going to be able to walk in at that last meeting and close it. And say, well, I'm going to be doing your ads on the radio. It's going to be me saying, you know, Touchdown Tech in the ad and getting your product out there. I'm
right.
A name. You know, he's going to be able – and John, I think, is – it'll take him a while before he establishes the same reputation as Bill, but he has the same credentials as Bill, basically. He's younger, but I do think he's going to be able to help Tech in that regard. And that was key going into the search. They wanted somebody that had good current chemistry with Mike Burnup. You know, that could do TV, radio, and sell ads. They wanted a complete total package guy, which is what they had in Bill Roth, and I think they were able to get that guy.
I hear you. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about beer, something we all like.
All right.
Beer and football, two things we all like, right?
That go together.
That go together quite
peanut
well.
Peanut butter and jelly.
That's right. A very American combination. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com, here with us for one more segment. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.